Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station where you'll only hear the female voice.
Today's guest on Radio Gorgeous is the performer Liz Agus, who for the past 40 years has been redefining her own brand of British contemporary dance. I went along to see Slap and Tickle, her most recent show at the Brighton Festival. What I discovered was a fantastically anarchic performer who throws out all the conventions of dance performance and challenges our preconceptions of what you might expect a mature female dancing body to be doing. Her show is about the challenges, contradictions, interpretations and propaganda that we all face as women at every age. It was shocking and it was very, very funny. I caught up with her afterwards. Liz, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. Very nice
to see you. Tell me a bit about how you came to be a performer.
Okay, so I come from a very odd background. I'm not the normal route in. So I didn't do any dance as a young child. I didn't do any performance as a young child. I don't come from that kind of background.
You weren't a big ballet schooled child as a...
No opportunities where I grew up or at the time of growing up and financially. So there was no kind of support in that kind of way whatsoever. So I left school at 18. And after doing A-levels, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. I thought I'd go... it was my mother who said, be a teacher because you'll always get attention for that.
Right.
So I applied to teacher training college. I got rejected from six of my college choices. And I went into clearing. And I got an interview at a college in Staffordshire called Madeley College.
Yeah.
And they had... I went to do English. I arrived at the interview. And they interviewed me and then they said, you look like the sort of girl who might be interested in doing something like dance, drama and film.
Wow.
And I've never heard this before.
Right.
I was 70-something, you know. And I said, yeah, probably I am the sort of girl. So the guy who was interviewing me, he said, well, I'll interview you now. So we went off to a room, just him and me. I don't know what I mean. It's very odd, the whole thing when I look back on it now. He said, get changed. I said, into what? Have nothing with me.
Yeah.
So I tucked my interview skirt into my pants and I'm clearly still doing stuff like that. And I, I danced around, did an improvisation, played the drums. I can't remember. I did a whole raft of things. And he said, well, I'd really like to offer you a place on dance, drama and film. So that was really my first introduction. I thank whoever interviewed me and had the foresight to do that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to whoever that was.
Brilliant.
Because I didn't look back from that moment onwards.
Fantastic. So then what did you do?
So I was 18, 19, I guess. So that was a very early introduction. And, of course, you go to college, you really aren't, I didn't know anything at all. And so I was mopping stuff up left, right and centre. And it was a time when modern educational dance, which is a German expressionist dance style, was taught in colleges. It was pre-contemporary dance, if you like.
Okay.
Contemporary dance really hadn't... It was a very early time for the
Because it's massive
world.
Now, isn't
now
it?
It is.
Now it's huge, and
absolutely.
Everybody would know what it is. But I suppose back then it wasn't a thing.
No,
okay.
My early education in dance came from this modern educational dance, which was Rudolf von Laban's work. It's the idea that everybody has got creative potential, and it's not about technique as such. It's about looking at space and time and weight and flow and the constructs that make up the kind of dynamic form of dance through a very creative approach.
Mm-hmm.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And then, but how did you get to becoming a solo performer? Because have you been in dance companies before, or is performing yourself by yourself something that appeals to you the most?
I really then kind of fiddled about in dance, if you like, a little bit longer. And then I went to New York to train, and I found myself in training in New York because I really decided when I was 28 that that's what I really wanted to do. I was fiddling really up until that point. But that's quite old, you see, to start to actually really focus on improving your technical world, improving your ability to perform and dance.
Yeah. And was it seen as a kind of, at that time, did people go, you're a bit old to be doing this? Did you feel that?
Because I never felt that.
No.
Because I think I've always been sure that that's what I wanted to do. And I never really, looking back in hindsight, you kind of realise actually that was pretty extraordinary to do that, usually. Yeah. Because now I'm around dancers, I know that they all start at 6 or 7 with ballet and tap and all of that, and I didn't have that start at all. So, but I didn't feel that was an issue for me.
And in some ways, maybe that helped you develop your own very unique style, because you've been able to pull in different elements of performance to your dance. Because watching you perform Slap and Tickle, it's not at all what you would expect from contemporary dance, because you speak, you talk to the audience, there's music, there's props, there's amazing costumes. Mm. Tell me a bit about how you put your show together. It's a bit of a big question.
You have no idea how complicated it is to answer a question like that.
Sorry. Well, let's break it down.
No, it's all right. Let's do a nightmare. Let's do the nightmare of making work. Because it's quite a lengthy process to make work. So I've been making solos since 1986. I've always been interested in the solo female body on stage and what that actually means. And being an older person, even at 28, you're already considered old. So now I'm 63, I'm obviously...
You are not 63, honestly. I will watch what she's having, thank you.
But it's like, you know, I've always been in that outside sort of camp zone, if you like. The zone of the dance camp, if you like. I'm on the edge. I've always been on the edge of that. So it's never occurred to me that it should be an issue. But I've always recognised that, you know, coming into dance without the kind of physical background that really supports you. And I was then able to really just invest in my own language and my own way of working and then my own physicality and work to my advantage, really. And I knew that I didn't have the archetypal dancer's body. I wasn't the stick-thin, tiny little waif, you know, almost the childlike elfin that you often see on stage. But I was always a woman. Hmm. And what interests me was always to talk about the issue of the real woman on stage.
Well, just to clarify for listeners who won't have seen you perform necessarily, you do look incredible on stage. I mean, you have got a very very strong physique, and actually watching you perform, it was a bit, for me, having never seen you before, it was a bit like, wow, that's incredible. It challenged me, because I thought, well, I've never seen somebody of your age dancing on the stage and dancing so freely and actually using your body and to say something very important about women and about women's bodies and our perceptions of ourselves.
But I think that women are often, they undermine themselves in that way.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Do not think that they're capable of engaging in that in that kind of physicality or skill or desire to do that. And for me, it's I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be doing this till I'm 90. You know, for me, it's really very straightforward. As long as I can maintain an ability of physicality and ability to deliver what I want to deliver, or I'll find ways round it. You know, I mean, I know I can't get my leg in my ear anymore. Never could, really. But it's... You don't have to do those things. You have to find alternatives.
My weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
Tell me a little bit, Liz, how did you research it? I'm interested in about, if you're going to present a concept on stage like you do, how do you go about finding what's going to go in?
Well, it takes me about a year to make a piece of work, because the work I make is very layered and very dense. I made a piece of work for my 60th birthday, actually. I treated myself to a solo called The English Channel, in which I was looking at age and mortality, because I felt it was something I wanted to address in performance. And I was also interested in the sort of social, economic, political world that I grew up in. Because I've always been curious about why I respond to things in a particular way. It's all to do with my background. Mm-hmm. And so when I was researching that piece, The English Channel, there was a lot of kind of debris that has actually kind of was left over for Slap and Tickle, if you like. So the kind of research that I did was I read, it was David Kynaston's Social, Economic and Political History of Britain, 19, 50 to 54, something right. like that.
That sounds very heavy compared to the kind of very light-hearted sometimes work you have on stage.
Yeah, but you see, that kind of depth of research actually allows your creative world to mm-hmm. take over, because whilst you're reading those kind of weighty tomes, for me, and because I'm interested in, if you like, the personal and archival history to influence the world of my world of performance, those kind of books actually provide a huge amount of strands and potential. So alongside reading that, I'm making notes, I'm jotting things down. My memories then of listening to the radio over Sunday lunch, and the music background. There was no TV when I grew up; it was only radio. So it was all the sounds, the world, the impressions, the colours, the space, what it was like, are all kind of embedded into me, and I'm allowing through reading those weighty terms those things to emerge.
But it did really make me think afterwards, because a lot of the things that you were talking about, as you say, they happen very quickly, but then they do all resonate.
Mm.
And the way you reference women and how we say we give ourselves different labels at different stages of life, and you bring all those up in the show.
Mm.
In your experience, are things better for women now than they were? Are we getting the hang of it? Are we getting the hang of it?
Or is the rest of the world getting the hang of it? I think the rest of the world's got to catch up. We're not equal yet. And, you know, there's no sense of equality. It's still a huge complexity to be a woman, I think, you know. The language that I use in the show references the kind of derogatory nature in which women are viewed, received and discussed. And, I'm shouting, are there any pishy old women in the house? I've never heard men being referred to in such a way. It just is the language that we have to deal with. I enter the space with humour. Who said feminism shouldn't be funny? I think it's, the piece is very funny.
So it is funny, and very entertaining as well.
But I like to highlight the complexities and absurdities of the female world through humour, because I think that's a way for women to actually understand and identify and become more empowered. And more visible, you know. I'm really after visibility. Here I am at 63. I want to maintain my art for as long as I can, because I see no reason why I shouldn't be visible for much, much longer, to the end of my life. And I don't understand why women feel they have hit invisibility at a certain age.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
Is that to do with how we view the ageing process, though? Is that to do with how we receive all these images about how we have to be wrinkle-free and we have to look young to be valid? And I think maybe that's so unreal, and it's so contradictory to what actually happens in life. Are you kind of pushing that boundary down? Do you feel that's something...
Well, I don't take any notice of that, frankly. I just really do what I damn well please. I mean, that's been my kind of mantra.
Good for you.
But I really don't care. If I want to dress in the way I want to dress or do what I want to do, it's really only me that's stopping me. I realise that, and I just get on with it. I'm just not interested in saying it's not possible. As a child, I spent a long time thinking it was not possible, because that was so ingrained into me as a child. Or, you know, take care, don't do this, blah, 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 all the rest of it. But I don't have that attitude now. I really, really have an absolute desire to do my work and make it the best it can be, to open up the parameters for other women to see that it is possible. You don't have to follow this ridiculous, invisible, dirndl-skirted beige world and, you know, pretend, oh, I'm sorry, dear, you know, all that kind of strange attitude. I mean, I'm really not interested in that at all.
Well, I can see that. And I, honestly, you're so inspirational, and I hope you'd be so many for the listeners who are listening. And please, please go and see your show. Tell me what you're doing next. And it's your Slap and Tickle's moving to London, isn't it?
Yes, Slap and Tickle goes to the Place Theatre in London on the 17th and 18th of June. And the Place Theatre is actually the... the hallowed grounds of the London School of Contemporary Dance, and I first performed there in 1987. That was my first solo performance. I did a solo there called Grotesque Dancer, which actually was the solo that appalled many people. Didn't appall me either. Lovely time, but it kind of polarized critics, and it kind of gender polarized critics. Actually, and it's the first time I thought that I didn't set out to shock at all, but I kind of realized that there's a great power in performance that can actually challenge preconceptions.
Yeah.
About my body, the female body, the performance world, and the content which can be used in performance to, you know, sustain visibility, abnegate female beauty, talk about other ways of looking and seeing.
Yeah.
So it's a sort of coming back round to this.
Oh, it'll
world.
Be nice full circle for you. Yes. But, you know, more to come. And will you take that on anywhere else, that particular, or are you going to do another show?
Yeah, no. This is a very new show. It goes to actually Tasmania. It goes to Hobart.
Wow.
I know. I've been invited to... I love this. You're going to like this. I've been invited to the Mature Moose Festival.
Hello.
Here I am. You really want me to? I won't be stumbling around in a Zimmer frame. Get out of my way. And here I am. I stop and do some work in Sydney and Singapore on the way, and then it comes back to the UK, and it goes out. I think it goes to Bournemouth in October. See, it's a strange old world one lives in, and Norwich, I know that much.
Tasmania, Bournemouth, Norwich.
There you go.
There we go. Well, very best of luck with it.
Thank you.
All the best of luck, and carry on, keep going, because you're very inspirational. Thank you, Liz.
This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for RadioGorgeous.com. Get in contact with us, contact us on info@RadioGorgeous.com, and to sign up for our shows to come once a week into your inbox. Who can think of anything better, darling?